Next week, we have 2 days, Tuesday and Wednesday, school. Tuesday will be big test day, all hour long, big fat test. And next day, I'm going to walk some of his own medicine hill. Next day will be correction. Don't fail to be here, Mark. Okay. Now, the thing I want to attack first here, I want to run on here. Les McKenzie looking for something for me. Lennon, tell me what he got it. He's in my office. In the office. Yeah, he's looking for my box like crazy. Looking for something. here's Philippians 2:7 turned in, no name on it. Recognize the handwriting? It just takes a translation. Young, Rotherham, Concordant, American Greek, World, Amplified, so forth. The form of a servant and is taken and so forth.
Oops, sorry, who wrote this? Ryan. It is.
Probably is, thank you, Ryan. That was David who said that. First, I want to address myself to a little note written by Lanny Peterson. Is Mike Saban here? Yes. Okay. To the unfolding of this, and God teaches. Is Lanny here this morning? Lanny wrote this note. I find a number of students in Unfolding Revelation of God 2 defining Jesus as Jehovah is salvation rather than Jehovah the Savior. Also, that definition appears in Mike Saban's Unfolding Revelation of God 1 notes. Mike, take note of that. You once corrected me on this, and therefore I am aware of it. Perhaps you might want to note it in Unfolding Revelation of God 3, since most teachers are taking the class to bring everyone's definition in unity. I'm going to make a little pitch at you this morning as to why Jesus should be Yahweh the Savior and not Yahweh salvation. You'll find it both ways in commentaries and Bible dictionaries.
There's a third way I would see too, is that Jehovah has become our Savior.
Yes, and then Jehovah is salvation, and there's actually a whole lot of a number of different ways they have put it, and which shows you that if it was super definite as to form, it wouldn't be the several variations. But I am dogmatic, and if you think I'm dogmatic, I listen to my father, that says that, that is on this particular subject, that Jesus means Yahweh the Savior, or Yahweh our salvation. He said we want to argue it, not Yahweh is salvation. Or any of the other forms of. Now, I say that the Jews always knew that Yahweh was salvation. They knew that. That was no revelation to them. That was stated many times in the Old Testament. And so, to have Jesus, to have Mary come along, and Jesus Christ being born, the Savior of the world, that the Jews have waited for 14 years for the Savior to come, the Messiah, to have him say, "Well, we're gonna name him a special name. We're gonna name him Yahweh or Jehovah is salvation." What's that gonna show? They already had that in Hosea. They already had that before. I mean, back through there, they already had all kinds of teaching and names and things indicating that Jehovah is salvation. So, if that's all it meant, then there would be no point in God bringing this to Jesus, because Jesus simply builds the revelation that Yahweh is the Savior or salvation, which they already knew, and therefore Jesus Christ is not necessarily more than any of the other prophets bearing his name or any of the other revelations already stated. And they've lost the whole point of this, and of why God brought that to Mary concerning his son. Now, as a number of commentators point out, Yahoshia means Yahweh Savior, or Yahweh Salvation. I'm not sure how they're gonna, why they use both ways though, but it's Yahweh Salvation. And you're going to have to decide whether it's Yahweh our Salvation, or if you use Savior, Yahweh the Savior, or whether you're going to have it as Yahweh is the Savior. In other words, and a number of them, in fact, they have parentheses, when they translate, they have a parenthesis in the middle, because this means Yahweh, and this means salvation or Savior, and to translate it and to define it, you've got to insert a word in the middle, is, our, the, something, to translate it. Otherwise, you haven't come down on one side of the meaning or the other side. You haven't translated it at all. You've just taken a word, broke it in two, stuck it here, out here literally, and didn't put any translation to it. To translate it, you have to say that it is something, or that it's equivalent to something, or it identifies it, or something. That isn't a clause. It isn't complete in itself. It doesn't say anything particularly by itself. It has to be translated. It means something, and it means translation. And That has to be understood by the context, by the revelation. There's something there that must define what it is so you know how to translate it. You haven't translated it yet. And it's quite abundantly clear by the way that they translate it this way, and some translate it that way. They're taking a choice. Some are saying, I decide it means this. Some are saying, I decide it means that. And those that say, well, I'm a Trinitarian, and I feel so and so, I decide it means this. And those say, well, I don't think, because of the context and what he's really saying, the identification, I think I'm deciding it means this. And you have to come down to one side or the other. You can't keep in the middle, afraid to make a decision. Something has to tell us. There has to be some way. And lest you be afraid that maybe we're kind of stretching the rubber band a little bit for the oneness. And after all, I mean, he's a great scholar, and he says it means Jehovah means is salvation. And so I'm afraid that lest I move out here and maybe get away from all the scholars. I mean, if you're saying that, you don't really understand the problem and the case. You don't have to be afraid of that. The proof of what this means is stated by God himself. I think that's probably a bit of greater authority than all the commentators on my shelf. In Matthew chapter 1 and verse 21, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. Why? For he would have his people know that Yahweh is the Savior of Israel. No, that's not what he said. And call his name Jesus. For, what's for mean? Same as because, for this reason. But because means for this reason. He called his name Jesus for this reason. Not just for, because Yahweh is the Savior, and they wanted them to know that, they already knew that. That isn't why they called him that, they knew that. It didn't take Jesus coming to tell them that. In fact, Jesus came, didn't tell them that. They disregarded it. In fact, he didn't need Jesus to come to tell them that, they already knew that. He saved them out of Egypt. He was going to save them. He already had the promise. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. From their sins. Not just out of Egypt. Not from the enemy. Not just from the Amalekites. Not just from hell. From the sins. And the blood and bulls of goats cannot take away sins. And without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. So if he was going to take away those sins, we have to see Jesus. He shall take away their people. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. He being interpreted as Emmanuel, El with us. This is El with us. This is Jehovah with us. He came unto his own. He came to be the Savior of the world. Without, if he that hath not the Son hath not the Father, and he shall die in his sins. Now, I insist there's a point of identification with Jesus Christ and Jehovah here, not just a revelation that Yahweh is Savior, or He saves. But the revelation is Jesus is that Savior, or there's no point in bringing this and naming this child that revelation name. Jesus said, thy name which thou hast given me. This is thy name thou hast given me. So my name is Jehovah. Your name, that's my name. My name is Jehovah. You've given it to me. So I am Jehovah the Savior. I am the Savior of the world. And you said that Yahweh is the Savior. Beside him there is no Savior. And Jesus is the Savior of the world. And so I have borne your name. And this name has the word Savior in it. And it tells us that I am this particular Savior. It just doesn't say that God saves. It's the name you've given me so that I can say that I am the Savior. Because you said that you were the only Savior. And now the only Savior is here now. And that's the reason they call his name Jesus, because he was the Savior. And he wants everybody to have the identification that this is Yahweh. It's absolutely absurd to try to make this mean that just the whole point in that child bearing the name is just to let people know that Yahweh was the Savior. Now, if that is true, then his name is not telling us any more. He is not any more by point of revelation in this than Elijah was, or Hosea was, or Isaiah was, or Jeremiah, or any of the rest of them, or Daniel. He is just another prophet with the name of God in it. Don't let Trinitarian scholars deceive you. Now, many of them admit that Jehovah is the Savior, and the name means that. Schofield insists on it. Schofield says it does not mean Jehovah saved. It means Jehovah is the Savior. And he insists on it because this verse insists on it. Because the whole revelation of who Jesus is and why he said this and why he was called this and the whole identification insists on it. Matthew 1:21 proves whether it means Yahweh our Savior or Yahweh is Savior. Jesus was called the Savior. That became his title, the Savior. Now, I'm going to read you some sources that say that Jesus means Jehovah the Savior. Some Trinitarian scholars. Vincent says, Hosea, he gives the derivation, you know, through Yahushua and so forth. And it says, Hosea, saving, which was altered by Moses into Jehoshua, Jehovah, our salvation. Jehovah, our salvation, Vincent. He has the word our in parentheses, because it's Jehovah's salvation. But Jehovah what salvation? No, that is no sentence. That doesn't mean anything. Jehovah salvation, what does that mean? Jehovah our salvation? Jehovah is salvation? I mean, you have to define what it means. It has to say something. It doesn't say anything yet. See? I house. What does that mean? Well, I came into the house. I am a house. I painted the house. I'm from the house. I mean, you have to have something in there that makes a definable clause that says something intelligent. James Fawcett Brown says the meaning of Jesus is Jehovah the Savior. People's Commentary says, so here the Son of Mary is by God's angel named Jesus to indicate him as God's appointed Savior of his spiritual Israel from their spiritual enemies. And he should say from their sins, because that's what the Bible says here. But it says that it's to indicate him as God's appointed Savior, as God, to indicate him, not just indicate that God is Savior, but to indicate him as God's appointed Savior. Irwin's commentary says the original is emphatic. Like, I'm going to show you something before I get to that. Here's another quote in the Greek from this particular passage. Okay, now we have here Jesus, and this particular pronoun means he, himself, and no other, right? Now, if this was this way, the rough reading mark, it would mean he, the one just spoken of before. This is emphatic to mean he, himself, and no other. For he will save. But it's a soul from sozo, save. And this is I means he. If you say sozo, it's I save. Is this right? And if you say So, it's he. If so dies, it should be the next one. So dies, that's right. It means he, she, it. And if it's so dies, it's what? Him, yes. And if it's sozo men, it's they, it's we, and so forth. And so this is obviously it's not she, And it's not it, so it's he. So here we have Jesus, he. We have an emphasis on he. This one right here. Not that one up there. This one right here. And not only he, but he himself and no other. I insist on a point of identification here. You should call his name Jehovah the Savior, for he himself and no other, he will save. And that tells us identification. Bowen says, in this connection, the original is emphatic. It is he and none other who shall save. Dumbledore says, his commentary, more exactly, for it is he that shall save. Pointing out. Fawcett says Jesus means Jehovah salvation, which is not translated. Yes, says Jesus means Jehovah salvation. But he didn't translate it. He didn't say whether Jehovah our salvation or Jehovah is salvation. But translation is necessary. So he hasn't. So when you see it that form, you know he has not made a definition. He's just taken the word and broke it in half and stuck it out there, and that's for you to do it. There is no proof, grammatically or textually, any place in the Bible that Jesus means Jehovah our salvation. There is not one shred of evidence to ever indicate that. There is no proof that it means Jehovah saves. There's no proof that it means just Savior. Several subsets. Jesus means Savior. What's the word yawn there for? They aren't even accurate. There is God-given proof that it means Jehovah the Savior or Jehovah our salvation. In other words, God tells us that identification is the point here. That's why that baby was called that, identification. Kittel, in Kittel's Theological Dictionary, the Greek set of Greek words, says the name Jesus is not accidental. It is given to the child of Mary by virtue of the divine promise. There's a divine promise. It's not just telling about God, it's a promise, a divine promise, something to Israel in this particular child. He should be called the Everlasting Father. He should be called the Almighty God. This shows, he talked about Matthew 1:21, then he says, this shows that the important thing in the name, who knows, who can read Hebrew here for the full name? Mike, can you do that? Can you read the Hebrew, pronounce it and so forth? Or do you have it this morning? Do you already have it down? Mike, come on up here. Would you do this? He goes into the Hebrew name here. I'd like Mike to read it for you, if you will.
Okay.
You can just go ahead and read this verse down.
Okay, this shows Matthew 1:21 that the important thing in the name is Yeshua. The important thing in the name Yeshua is the way it's pronounced here. Is the verb Yasha, which is the verb to save. And
this one, according to the analytical Greek lexicon, the first one, pronounce it again.
Yeshua.
He shall be a deliverance. That is a deliverer. Mm-hmm. And not, it didn't say deliverance, but he, a person, shall be a deliverer. Shall be deliverance, a deliverance. That is a deliverer. And the important thing here is the verb to save. So, thank you. What we're saying here in this connection, in this name is given him from the Hebrew. This name means is saying that he is a deliverer. He shall be a deliverance. That is, he is the deliverer. He is the deliverer. That is a point of identification. The important thing is, he shall save. He himself and no other shall save. That was the whole point of saying this, was that he was going to save. But you say, well, wasn't God going to save him? But the point is, he was showing them, trying to show them, he was going to save him in Christ. without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. He was not going to save him without this one. He who has not the Son hath not the Father, and shall die in his sins. He had to tell him more than, like Billy Graham told the Jews, believe in your God. They already were believing that Yahweh would save them. They already believe in that. They didn't need a person to come along to have a name with a flag that says, believe in your God. They already believed in the prophet Isaiah that told them that. They wanted to identify him to heal and say, if you don't have him, you don't have him. You're going to die in your sin. He's the Savior of the world. You better believe him. Rotherham says it may be worth knowing that the J of this name Jesus is undoubtedly due to a combination of Jehovah with salvation. We see that J because Y because Yah because Yahweh. Apostles Bible Dictionary, Jesus is Jehovah's salvation, for he himself, Autos, saved his people from their sins. This actually shows that it means Yahweh the Savior, since it is he himself that doing the act. Grant Adams commentator says, Jehovah our, Jesus means Jehovah our salvation. Jehovah our salvation. Grant Adams commentator. Other commentators have said Jesus means Jehovah the Savior is Sadlos. Gabriel. Jehovah our salvation. Jesus, the name signifies the salvation of Jehovah or Jehovah the Savior. See, put it either way because he wasn't sure. It could be either way. Or Jehovah the Savior. This is from the Holy Bible Commentary by F.C. Cook. Jesus, composed of Yah, Jah, a name of God, and Hoshea, the Savior, and so it imports Jehovah the Savior, the Bible Student's Companion by William Nicholson. Jesus, from the Hebrew, Jehoshua, Numbers 13:16, or after the captivity was contracted, Jeshua, Nehemiah 7:7, meaning Jehovah the Savior, the critical and experimental commentator by David Brown. The name Jesus, Jehovah the Savior, given to him at the circumcision, commentary on the Gospel of Luke by Norman Geldenhuys. The Savior's name, that at the beginning, that's the title, it says that at the name of Jesus, verse 10, Jehovah the Savior, the preacher's complete homiletic commentary on the book of the Bible by George Barlow. Of course, the Christian reader knows the name is the same as Joshua. It means Jehovah the Savior. Gospel according to Matthew by Sadler. Jesus, Greek for Hebrew name Joshua, meaning Savior, or more fully, Jehovah the Savior. One volume New Testament commentary by John Wesley, Adam Clark, Matthew Henry, and others. Now, I think I've given you enough Trinitarians that admit that it means that, although there are a number of others that say don't, that you don't have to shake in your boots for fear maybe you're going against scholarship. If that many of those people say it means that, and God says it means it, and you believe in the point of identification, and you have to make it mean one or the other, and it does not state in the name itself which it means, you have to supply the word, I don't see how anybody who has won this, who studied it, who can decide to supply the word is. Instead of thee or our. It seems to me there has to be a connection here. Yes?
How would you distinguish between Jesus and Joshua then, who, using this last two commentaries? One commentary said Joshua, man, and so forth.
Yes.
But yet Joshua is not Jehovah the Savior. It refers to Jehovah, who is the Savior.
Well, okay, I'll do that in a minute. I didn't make much sense. Yes.
Yeah, I was just thinking that as you were bringing this forth, that may be the means by which we can distinguish. You know, a lot of the students ask, well, then how is Jesus' name any more unique than Joshua's? And this may be the key to it right here, is that the name Joshua that man bore in the Old Testament may have, because, like you said, there's a certain indefiniteness, whether it's identification or whether it's teaching that truth, that man Joshua back there could bear the revelation that Jehovah is that salvation. But now we have the identification in the name of Jesus. The word is the same, but the context in which it's set in the New Testament is entirely different. So we see that this is that one, this is that Jehovah and Savior, whereas Joshua was foreshadowing the truth.
Yes. The point I might make is the word is the same. See, it's a derivation. from Yahoshia, Yahashua, and then and Yahshua, Joshua, Yeshua, 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 then Jeshua, or Yeshua, Yeshu, and you can take it either way to the J's or the Y's. Yeshua, Yeshu, Jesus, Yeshu, and Jesus, which is Jesus, and Jesus. And you have that derivation. And so, like some of them say right here, they say, well, Joshua means Jehovah the Savior. But I think Mike is right. It's Yahweh and Savior for salvation, and you have to supply the word. And since you have to supply the word, when you come to Jesus, you're at point of identification. When you're at Joshua, you're at a type. And as a type, you're still going to supply the same word. He is the Savior. Joshua was the appointed Savior of Israel. Not to save them from their sins, but to save them from destruction as a nation, wandering in the wilderness with no nation, no place, no home, saving them in carrying on the work of Moses out of Egypt into their own land, and under a priesthood, and under that which is the type with the anti-type, saving them from their sins. But in Matthew it says, for he shall save them from their sins. And so even there you can use the same word, but yet there might be but in typology, you know, and typologically you can use the same word. And otherwise you can point to say, well, Yahweh is salvation, all right. But see, the name is pointing towards Christ. And therefore, I think that we've got to be a little careful that we're not thinking, well, it just means Yahweh is salvation. I think it means more than Yahweh is salvation, even back at that time. Because while you're not going to say he is the Savior, you're going to have to say he is the Savior, working through him. Yet, working through him, whereas Jesus, you say, well, it's him working through him, isn't it? Well, it's him working through him, the Son, but as him, Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, it is him right here. Because he is the same. He's no different. It isn't just him working through him, but as the God-man, God himself, man, it is him. It's him or it's him. It's him. And since it's him and him, deity and humanity, it's him. So you're pointing right here. So there might be a sense in which you might at that time say, well, it must mean mainly at that time Yahweh is salvation, and that must have been how they probably took it, because they didn't understand the typological reference. But typologically it would have to say the same thing. Calvin disclaims quite vehemently against those that take the Septuagint, the Greek, for Joshua, and they change the ending a little bit, so it isn't quite the same as Jesus, and say they distort rather than derive the name from Yahweh, because they think it blasphemy that a mortal man have the same name as the Son of God. And he calls it dishonest scholarship, and so forth, because he recognizes that he did bear that name, even as Elijah bore that name. Comments, questions? Yes.
Since you can take "he shall save," meaning both deity and humanity, can you also do the same thing with his people? Saying that Jesus is out of this people, but Jesus is also the owner of the people.
Yeah, as God, he's the owner of the people. As man, he's from the people. As God, he's the owner of the people. And as man, he's the sacrifice. And as God, he is the one who accepts the sacrifice. And it takes both the sacrifice and the one who accepts the sacrifice to make the salvation. And that's why he is the Yahweh is salvation, but it wasn't until he manifested himself in flesh and had the sacrifice as well as the judge, till he has become our salvation. He has become, and not just the fact that he saves, but he has become our salvation in Christ Jesus. And the scriptures that tell us how that God in Christ, you know, came to save the world. And the identification was made right there, that this is he. It's spoken of. This is Emmanuel. This is El with us. But it's El with us at the point of salvation and saving his people from their sins. He hadn't done that before. They were only building up a faith work here typologically by obedience. And obedience that he could ratify at this point of time. But here's the ratification. John, by the Holy Ghost, said, "This is the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. He taketh away the sins of the world." He pointed them to, this is the Lamb. That's the man. This is the he that taketh away the sins of the world. That was the whole point. John again pointed to him, told him the same thing that Mary told him. And same thing that the angels told the wise men. That the whole point of glory and hosanna to the Son of David and so forth was the fact, the thing that was to Annas the prophetess, the thing was to Simeon, the thing that was to Elizabeth, the whole mention of our Lord and the whole mention of what he would do, everything had to do with the fact that the little children set out by the Holy Spirit, hosanna, save now, save now. Who saved now? Yahweh saved now. Why did they say that when he comes along for? What that had to do with it? Why didn't they say it when he wasn't there? Point of identification. Yahweh saved now. Here he is. Any more comments? Questions? I just want to drill this in. Let's straighten the students out. Let's don't have them be saying Jehovah is salvation. That's not what it means. Not a shred of evidence for them. God's against you if you say that. That is, he's against you by reason of argument. Yes.
So then we can take it either way, preferably the Savior. We can say Jehovah our Savior, Jehovah the Savior. Our or the, preferably the, is that what you're saying?
I'm not enough of a scholar to know why some of them say Savior or some say salvation. Maybe somebody can straighten me out on that. I don't know that. But all I'm insisting on is the point of identification. That's made clear by God. Which is the preferable way, I don't know. I don't know why they don't know. But scholars, I don't know enough about the word. I would think the word even means one or the other. I don't know enough that much about it.
Maybe it isn't definite, and they just make it the way they want it. That's probably
because Hebrew is such an indefinite language.
Yeah, but how about the Greek?
Well, the Greek, because it's a transliteration of another Hebrew. And the two ideas of Yahweh and salvation are definitely there, so everybody has kind of come up with the way they want it.
They're probably copying one another, too.
And Hebrew relies on the context for the meaning of things, too. Like even when Yahweh gave us, I am that I am, and so forth. One of the reasons we can see the indefiniteness of that is because there's no real context to tie it down to time. that sets it off in an entirely different light, you know. So.
See, the same thing is done with the names of the prophets. Then with Hosea, then with Elijah, then with Isaiah, then with all the prophets, the scholars are divided on two different sides. Some of them say it means Jehovah is Elohim, and some says it means Jehovah saves. Elijah. Some say it means,
Elijah.
Yeah.
Some say Jehovah is salvation. Some say Elohim is Jehovah. And some say Jehovah is my God, my Elohim, and a lot of different variations.
But for example, Elisha, and in these others, you'll say it both ways: he is salvation, or he is the Savior, or he saves, and so forth. Both ways, and you have to be on one side or the other. And I really think that what he's really saying, and this goes back to Joshua again, I really think that the way I would translate that is that he's bearing the name in the revelation. And I would translate it, Jehovah is salvation. Jehovah, God is judge. Like Daniel, God is judge. If Elijah, Daniel, Elidan, El is judge, and the I is, so it is or not? What is that I?
Sometimes they take it that way, sometimes they take it as possessive, as mine.
God, mine.
Yeah.
I think that identification, identifying the revelation, bearing the revelation name, I'm quite sure that when the judgment's over and we ask the Lord, He's going to say, they bore my name, the revelation. People are so afraid of that. They're so afraid that some might take the holy name of God and bear that. They're so afraid of things like we are joint heirs with Jesus Christ. They're so afraid of we shall rule and rule with a rod of iron. I just can't help but have to use that word Baptist again, although I do. Baptists are just one of the dozens, but have to look down my nose at, from what I've seen in the past, my associations just say is that Baptist mentality that is lacks the Holy Ghost, that they all bring the revelations down and they got to have them down here, so it's all in man's reason. They somehow can't see the glory of the revelation, how man bears this name, the image, and his identity and all that. There's a whole huge superstructure that they have got watered down and brought clear down here into little quarterlies that they just have missed. They have missed the whole glory and strength and power of the revelation. I don't know if you know what I mean or not. Some of you, I'm sure, do. And this is, I think, again, what happens in all these kind of definitions. It's the mind of the theologian trying to separate man from God rather than seeing the revelation, how he carries it and his closeness. And that they're missing something without that revelation. Yes?
Then, like Daniel, the translation to bring the identification would it be God the judge, or would it be God is judge?
I think it's God is judge.
God is judge?
Yeah.
Or God the judge? What does it make a difference?
Oh,
that one with,
yeah.
With the word in the middle, could it be God?
Mm-hmm.
That's not an article.
Mm-hmm. I think it means God is judge.
Yes.
Or
would that make a difference?
In
other words, Jesus would be
Jehovah the Savior, not Jehovah is. Yes. I think that Daniel means God is, El is judge. I think that Elohim, I think that Elijah means El is Yahweh. He's pointing out the revelation of who He is. Not just what He does, but who He is my point. That's my point. Not that Daniel is like Daniel saying, well, I am judge, you know. But God is judging me, I don't mean that. But it's what He is, not what He does. And here with Jesus, it's what He is, but what He is in identification. Not what He does. Okay, yes.
How strong is that word for? Maybe nemesis. For or because?
Go. What this means for?
It means the same way we take it in English.
Yeah, it doesn't have any big superstructure to it. Let's look real quickly at another point here then. See if we can get through this in 15 minutes. Marky, do we have your papers tomorrow to turn in? Mark 8:38. You have a sentence for tomorrow, right?
Yes. Okay. Are you going to comment on it Thursday?
I think so, probably. I think I'll put a comment on it. Mark 8:38. Okay, let's go here. I don't know if you have time to get this done or not. Oh, boy. Now, let me race. Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me, let me stop a minute. What you have, can be brought in 15 minutes for sure?
Less than 15.
Why don't you go ahead and bring that? I don't think I'm going to make this. I can know myself. And I can skip this hill.
You'll probably have to have something else after it.
That's fine. Well, we'll be back. I don't think I'm going to make this. I don't think I'll wish I'm more to bring it. It's not going to be successful, I don't think.
I just wanted to make one point from Colossians 1:19. The scripture there says, "For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell." And my point here will center around the word for dwell. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. I'm going to show that the word dwell means permanently dwell. And so the conclusion would be simply that in him all the fullness dwells permanently, to show that Jesus was not a temporary manifestation of God, but a permanent manifestation of God, which separates him from what we call the manifestations of God in the Old Testament, like they teach in Unfolding Revelation of God 1. The word is this word in Greek for dwell. It comes from the verb. And that this word here comes from the verb katoikio, which itself, katoikio, comes from kata, which means down, and oikos, which means house. So it has a root idea of dwelling down in a house, in other words.
Keep going. Don't make any attention. It's just a little non-Greek way.
Okay. So it has an idea of settling down in a dwelling. This is the word that Don uses when he translates it, dwelling comfortably at home. It's the same Greek word. So it has the idea of settling down in a dwelling, or dwelling fixedly in one place. And this is the meaning that we're going to draw off, dwelling fixedly in one place. It's used in the New Testament in a number of scriptures, probably more than 30 or 40, and it's often used to dwell in a city or dwell in a home. For example, Acts 4:16 says, "All them that dwell in Jerusalem," showing that that's the place where they reside and they dwell fixedly there. Now, it refers to permanency, and the reason the scholars give for saying that it does is because it's set in opposition to another Greek word in both Testaments, and that Greek word is this.
For the cave students, that's katoisekai, katoikeisai, according to Dave's big grammar of the diphthong AI as an aisle.
The word that katoikeisai is set in opposition to is parokeisen. And it denotes a transient sojourning. And there's a beautiful contrast between these words in the Septuagint in Genesis 37:1. It shows real clearly the difference between these two words. And this is a Septuagint reference, but nonetheless it's used this way throughout the Bible. It says this, "And Jacob dwelt in the land wherein his father sojourned." Jacob dwelt, katoikeisai, he dwelt, that was his home permanently, in the land where his father was sojourned, parokeisen. So it shows a difference. Now, both Vincent and Wiest agree that this word in Colossians 1:19 refers to a permanent indwelling. Here's what Wiest says. He said, and I'll just quote Wiest, "The word dwell is katoikio, to be at home permanently in a certain place. The prefix preposition kata or kata adds permanency to the idea of the verb. The Greeks had a word parokio, so he mentions this other word used of transient sojourning, but katoikio used here, and he's referring to Colossians 1:19, speaks of the fact that all of the divine fullness is at home permanently in the Lord Jesus. At home in the sense that this divine fullness was not something added to his being that was not natural to him, but that it was part of his essential being, as part of his very constitution, and that permanently. Translate it, because in him was God well pleased that all the fullness be permanently at home. So he's heavily emphasizing permanent, 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 permanent. And he even opposes it to this word, like it is in the Bible. And then, simply, Vincent says that it means to dwell permanently. Now, for an example, to show that definitely that that's what it means, it's used of the Holy Spirit dwelling in the believer, which is not a temporary indwelling. Once you're filled with the Holy Ghost and you get the earnest of the inheritance in heaven, it's a permanent thing. And it's the same type of thing with Christ. And we see this in James 4:5, for example. The Spirit that dwelleth in us. And there's other scriptures that show the same type of thing. And then this word is, of course, used in Colossians 1:19. So we see that it does mean Holy Spirit in him permanently, just as in us. Now, in the New Testament, dip through the concordance and show them. In one sense, you might be able to argue against that because it's saying dwelling in a city, and they dwell in the city, and you could, people might say, well, they leave the city, you know, from time to time, and so forth. But I think it's saying that as far as dwelling in a city is concerned, they were dwelling permanently in that city. In other words, it means to dwell for a particular purpose. They had a purpose for dwelling there, namely that's the city that they lived in. And that was a permanent thing. And it's permanent in the Holy Ghost, and it's permanent in Christ. So that's all I have to say about that Greek word. But it, so if someone says a temporary manifestation, you can always point to this one, back to this one Greek word.
Turn to Genesis 1:26. There's one more point I want to bring here. Next 2 minutes we have. I'm not sure this was brought up before. Make sure that Russ gets in our book. And God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. Now, when God said, let us make man, Adam. We know that by the next verse that Adam was created in God's image, but he wasn't made in his image and in his likeness. And he didn't say, and let him have dominion. He said, let them have dominion. Adam did not have dominion. He did not take that dominion. At the time when dominion would be taken in the millennium, it would no longer be him, but them. Let them have dominion. He has now gone from one man created in his own image to millions made in his own image and made after his likeness. Let them. That's all I have, y'all. Any last question or comment, please?
No. 1:19 is 2:9 katoike. Same thing, man. Alas.
It'll be a rather extensive test. Dealing with making sure you understand the concepts. Genesis 1:26 again, 27 on. going to down to the nitty-gritty of it. That'll be a large part of that'll be define the grade level of what you're doing this test. Be sure you do here. See you tomorrow.
You don't have any idea when the next
year. Yeah, I suppose it's too deep. Thank you, Wednesday. Anybody home,
Dave?
Okay.